Our next portion, sure the Lord have a blessing for us. Brother Art Jesuits have chosen as his subject, standards. Standards. That.
Thank you, Brother Jarman. Needless to say, Sister Barbara and I rejoice in being in your midst and receiving of the blessings the Lord has showered on us thus far. Standards and banners were regarded as very efficient instruments for maintaining the ranks and files of bodies of troops. Also, they served as an emblem or symbol of a people, as a tribe whose flag and banner emphasized their outstanding features and their accomplishments. In Numbers, the second chapter, the second verse, we particularly notice the Israelites being enjoined to encamp, each by the standard of his tribe and the ensign of his father's house. According to the ancient historical records, we find that amongst the Hebrews, they had ensigns of at least three different kinds. The first one was the great standards of the tribes, serving as a sign for marching, forming in battle array, and for encampment. Second, they had what they called the divisional standards. Each three tribes had a banner with an inscription over them. And they were of certain colors and of certain shapes and forms. The tribe of Judah, together with Issachar and Zebulun, bore a banner of a young lion. The tribe of Reuben, together with Simeon and Gad, bore a banner of a man. The tribe of Ephraim, together with Manasseh and Benjamin, a banner of a steer. The tribe of Dan, together with Asher and Naphtali, had a banner of an eagle. Then, number three, additionally, there were special houses or special tribes or families that had banners and standards also. Our interest this afternoon centers around the first one of these, the great standards of the tribe. Our reason for this interest centers around the seventh chapter of Revelation, from the fourth to the eighth verses. Revelation 7:4-8. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. If you go back to Genesis, the 49th chapter, you'll find these tribes also listed. But we take particular note in noticing that in Revelation, Daniel, the tribe of Dan, is excluded. Now, why do you think he's been excluded? We'll find out as we get to the end of our lesson. In these verses, the little flock is spoken of as constituting Israel. Those of the Jewish nation who maintained their relationship with God were not broken off from that position, but instead they were transferred from natural Israel and became the nucleus of spiritual Israel. inasmuch as this left many of the designated number yet to be provided for. And God arranged, as had been shown through the prophets, that this would be done, that the deficiency would be supplied from amongst the Gentiles. So then, the work of this gospel age has been to fill up those 12 tribes with Gentiles, to take the place of the Jews who were broken off from that special place or plane of privilege. If we make our calling and election sure, we shall be of these 12 tribes, though we may not know to which tribe we shall be assigned. The Lord, in His providence, in His providences, fills up those tribes of Israel as pleases Him. The whole number being stipulated to be 12,000 from each tribe, or 144,000 altogether. It might make no particular difference to us to which tribe we may belong, if true and faithful. Yet there is a possibility that since our Lord Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, there may be some special gradation suggested in this tribe. So this royal priesthood may be divided into 12 different classes. Now there is no revelation on this subject, and we do not wish to be wise above that which is written. But since these tribes have different standards, as shown in prophecies respecting them, so there is seemingly quite a possibility that there would be 12 different stations or 12 different ranks among the saints in glory. In our investigation on this subject, we found out that all authorities do not agree 100% on the standards for all 12 of these tribes. The following are the standards which scripturally portray to us the characteristics and outstanding features of each tribe. Which tribe, if proven faithful, would you become a member of? Let us begin with our first tribe, which is the tribe of Judah. First scripture, we'd like to use the one in Genesis 49th chapter and the 9th verse. Genesis 49:9. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? There's additional scriptures, one in Genesis 49:8-12, and Deuteronomy 33:7. The word Judah means praise of Jehovah. The predominant theme in this character is praise. It is found in connection with his birth, as well as bestowed in his blessing. When he was born, Leah said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah, which means praise of Jehovah. Praise was evidently not only his name, but his character. This, in all probability, was the reason he found himself in the leading position amongst the tribes. Note that God puts praise first in so many places. This is evidence from such scriptures as we find in Psalms 50:23, for example. 50:23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And then there is another good one in Psalms 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. And then there's one more in Psalms 147:1. It was Judah's advice that his brethren followed when they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites instead of taking his life. Though he was not the firstborn, we find him taking a deciding lead in many of the affairs of the family. It is Judah who unhesitatingly acknowledges the guilt which had never been committed, throws himself on the mercy of the Egyptian prince, offers himself a slave, and makes that wonderful appeal to the feelings of their disguised brother, which renders it impossible, as you remember, for Joseph any longer to conceal his secret. His experience of life and the strength of his character appear to have given him much influence with Jacob. It was chiefly from confidence in him that the aged father at length consented to allow Benjamin to go to Egypt. The standard which stood at the head of this tribe was one with a lion beautifully embroidered upon it. One ancient writer wrote, and I like this one, that he said across the top of this standard of Judah was written, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered." Now, why a lion? Most often, a lion is a symbol of strength. As Samson's proverb puts it, what is stronger than a lion? Actually, we notice that lion in the Old Testament writings is mentioned about 135 times. As we recall, our Lord is referred to as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. One of our Lord's messianic titles, obviously, reflects the first mention of a lion in Genesis 49:10. Where it says, Judah is a lion's whelp in a setting of judgment and power. Our Lord's strength and majesty are symbolically referred to when he is styled the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Additionally, we find in Proverbs 28:1 that the righteous are to be as bold as a lion. I'm sure from the definition of Judah, praise of Jehovah, as well as the characteristics of the tribe, which were depicted by a lion, gives us some clues as to who shall make up this tribe of Judah. Our next tribe is that of Reuben. As a scripture, we turn to Genesis 49:3. Genesis 49:3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellence of dignity, and the excellence of power. The word Reuben means see a son. During the time of ancient Israel, children were considered a great blessing. Future posterity was everything. And to be without a son, to perpetuate the name of the father, was almost like having a curse resting upon one's head. How proud had been the parents when Reuben was first born. So excited to see a son. Jacob said, "This was the beginning of my strength." That is the strength of that family that was to increase in succeeding generations. But Jacob had hoped for strength of character as well as numerical strength. But as we remember, he was bitterly disappointed because of the sinfulness of Reuben in later years. On the standard of this tribe of Reuben, there was a figure of a man embroidered upon it. The figure of a man, or the face of a man, symbolizes love in the scriptures. The excellence of dignity and the excellence of power and love refer to Reuben, as we note these qualities as mentioned in Genesis 37:21-22, when he again withstood his brethren for the safety of their brother Joseph, and was instrumental again in saving the boy's life. Although he identified himself with them later on in their deceit, again when Joseph in Egypt demanded that the bringing of Benjamin to him, it was Reuben, as you remember, who withstood security to his father for his younger brother. We are told that the face and the form are an excellent index to the heart and life. So surely, and to the extent that dissipation and sin have hold on a man's mind and body, so surely will his face declare it. As surely as purity and grace reign within the face, surely his face again will indicate. We know that Jesus, being perfect, was far from physical deformity and unkind appearance, as the East is from the West. For we know from Scripture that he was altogether lovely. The elements or constituent parts of love, the apostle outlines to us very beautifully as he mentions their 9 ingredients. When he says that love suffereth long, patience, and is kind, kindness. Love envieth not, generosity. Vaunteth not itself. In other words, is not puffed up. Humility. Does not behave itself unseemingly. Courtesy. Seeketh not her own. Unselfishness. Is not easily provoked. Good tempered. Thinketh no evil. Guilelessness. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Honesty. Those will be the ingredients of those who will be members of this tribe of Reuben. We go to the tribe of Gad. First scripture, we'd like to use the one noted there in Deuteronomy 33:20. And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. The name Gad means troop. The standard which stood before this tribe was an armor. Looking into history, in the history of this tribe of Gad, we find them as great warriors, fighting many battles, knowing both defeat as well as victory, showing the great powers of a tribe of valiant men, men able to bear the buckler and sword and shoot with the bow and being skillful in warfare. The tribe of Gad delighted to be in the front of the battle, always seeking to enlarge their territory and their possession. We are told their faces were the faces of lions, and like rose upon the mountains for swiftness. They had on the complete armor and were ready and waiting. Surely those who make up the remaining members of this tribe must have on the whole armor of God. They must put on this armor of light over the robe. They need to have their loins girded about with truth. They need the helmet to protect their minds, their intellects from the shafts of error. The breastplate of righteousness must cover their hearts, realizing that nothing but heart purity and absolute loyalty to God be considered. They need the sandals of the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are needed to overcome the Canaanites in our own breast and to overcome all surrounding obstacles. Thus armored and furnished, we may indeed come off more than conquerors. who shall conquer through him who loved us and bought us with his precious blood. The promise of the Master is our daily inspiration. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. It will be these that will make up the remaining members of the tribe of Gad. You go to the tribe of Asher. For a scripture, we'd like to use the one found in Genesis 49:20. 49:20. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. The secondary scripture that you might like to look up is Genesis 30:12-13. Asher means happy or blessed. On their standard, they had embroidered a hand full of corn. Asher was born to Zilpah and was adopted by Leah, who was responsible for naming him. As she took this child in her arms, it was with an air of contentment and pleasure. She said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she gave him a name which embraced both of these words. Both of these words that she used, happy and blessed. What was hers became his. This mutuality of blessing is a principle of Christianity. In the Old Testament, the Genesis 12:2, it says, "I will bless thee, and thou shall be a blessing." In the New Testament, John 15:11, "That my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." We are blessed of the Lord, and the more we are blessed, the more we bless others. The word Asher is 27 times translated blessed, 18 times the same word is translated happy. We find the standard of Asher, a handful of corn, very appropriate. There was much richness of soil in his allocated territory. Most all statements concerning Asher reveal quality. His bread shall be fat is one of them. Now Christ is the bread of life to his people. It is fat of highest quality and so satisfies the hungry soul. David says, "My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness." And again, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house." The tribe of Asher represents those saints who feed upon the finest of wheat. "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house." The corn of Canaan is far better than the leeks and onions of Egypt. The word of God is their daily portion. It's like Job who said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food." That's Job 23:12. The natural result of a healthy intake is a virile output. Those who feed upon husks and peelings of the fruit instead of the solid meat and the fat bread of God's word will not find themselves as members of this tribe of Asher. Those who feed on the fatness of God's word will, as the tribe of Asher, give to the people royal dainties straight from the king's banqueting chamber. Is the tribe of Naphtali. First scripture, we turn to Genesis 49:21. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Another scripture you might like to jot down is Genesis 30:7-8. Now the word Naphtali means my wrestling. On the standard which stood before this tribe, there was a hind or a stag upon it. Naphtali is a hind let loose. The hind or the roe or the gazelle is a creature that is very graceful, very gentle, and very agile. With a sure foot, it bounds to the highest height of the rocky crags, beyond the reach of his enemies, the emblem of glorious freedom. The tribe of Naphtali was swift and sure in its accomplishments. Here are a few references in Scripture which give us a general idea of the nature of this animal. David said, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon the high places." Psalms 18:33. Habakkuk says exactly the same thing in the third chapter in the 19th verse. Solomon says, "Let her be as a loving hind." Proverbs 5:19. The hind is also used in Scripture as an emblem of gentleness and of love. Thus in the Song of Solomon, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, yet that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, until he please." Again in Proverbs 5:19, "Let her be unto thee as a loving hind." The hind here again being used as a symbol of affection, standing securely upon the summit of lofty crags, out of the reach of the world, and lifted above the snares and pitfalls of the world below. From these few references, we see that those who are of the tribe of Naphtali are those who are full of grace and are gentle, those who are swift and sure in their accomplishments of the Lord's will. Those who enjoy the glorious freedom are his disciples who continue in his word. "He shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We go to the tribe of Manasseh. That's on the west side of the tabernacle, and we turn to our scripture in Deuteronomy 33:17. "His glory is like the first flames of his bow, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000 of Ephraim and are the thousands of Manasseh." The word Manasseh means forgetfulness. On the standard of this tribe was an emblem of a bull. Joseph's statement was, "He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." There is a forgetfulness which is a vice and should be severely shunned. There is a forgetfulness which is a virtue and should be embraced. It is this latter one which is important to us. In the normal order of things, Joseph named his firstborn forgetting and his second fruitful, which was increased. When we forget those things which are behind, when we forget self and our sins of the past, only then can we become fruitful. The bullock on the standard of this tribe could represent, as we know, Jesus at the age of 30, the perfect man who gave himself and died on our behalf. The high priest represented the new nature of Jesus. But why a bullock? One reason, a bullock is quite fat. Fat burns with vehement flame and is very quickly consumed. It is thus a most apt symbol of the zeal which must accompany the sacrifice. Also, nothing is said about washing any parts of the bullock before burning it. Undoubtedly, this is because the bullock represents perfect humanity, implying sinfulness, sinlessness, which requires no justification. Surely our justification is based upon the fact that we have accepted the perfect humanity of Christ Jesus as our own. If we have appropriated to ourselves his righteousness, made available by way of the ransom sacrifice on our behalf, our own righteousness then is in his alone. Such indeed is the justification of those who compose this tribe of Manasseh. Only those who lay down their humanity, as did our perfect example and who proved faithful. Only those may well find themselves as members of this tribe. Next, we look to the tribe of Simeon. For scripture, return to Genesis 49:5. Genesis 49:5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. The word Simeon means hearing. On the standard at the head of this tribe was a sword. Leah prayed often in her distress that the Lord would hear her petition. He granted her the second son, Simeon. The tribe of Simeon was well known for their wide conquests to the south of the Holy Land. They were known for their victories, their abilities, and their skill in using the sword. To those who make up the remaining members of this tribe are applied the scriptures we find in Ephesians 6:17, Ephesians 6:17, as well as the one in Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Let's read that one. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This weapon is formed both for offensive and defensive warfare. It is sharp, and while one edge is presented toward the other, toward the enemy, there is another edge which is toward him who's the one that handles the sword. The Lord has given it to the church to be used in his service. Woe unto him who handles it unskillfully. Our Lord's words are a warning to those of the age who are exercising this spiritual weapon. Further, we are told to let the truth make the separation. Speak the truth in love and stand firmly by it. It is the power of God not only in separating and gathering, but also in the second separating and casting out. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Those who have learned to use it skillfully and properly will find themselves in this tribe if proven faithful. Tribe of Levi. Scripture, Genesis, the 29th chapter, the 34th verse. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, Now this time will my son be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Levi means joining closely. They were located closely around the tabernacle, the priests on the east. Some writers placed the two tablets of the law as the standard of this tribe. We, however, prefer the one of a sacrificing altar. This tribe was joined closely, typically, to the Lord as defined. The duties of this tribe are outlined for us in Numbers, the 3rd chapter, the 11th to the 16th verses. Here was a small select number set apart for the service of the Lord. The entire tribe of Levi was cut off from having any possession in the land. No title to land was given to them, nor any field. They sacrificed much on behalf of the Lord and the other 11 tribes of Israel. The tribe of Levi was divided into two classes, a priestly class and a servant class. Their duties and services to the people were many, so many that we cannot enumerate them here. The lesson portrayed is he who sacrifices his all in the service of the Lord on behalf of his brethren, the other 11 tribes of Israel, will perhaps, if proven faithful, become a spiritual member of this tribe of Levi. Our next tribe is that of Issachar. Scripture, Genesis 49:14. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. The word Issachar means to hire for payment or reward. On the standard of this tribe was a figure of an ass. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. This scripture has often been misinterpreted because the ass is so often considered a silly animal. But this is not true. The idea has originally come from legend and not from fact. The animal may be stubborn at times, but never silly. Of the 143 references in Scripture, not one would justify this type of character, the animal. But many of them would prove to the contrary. Balaam's ass saw the angel and sought to avoid him, while Balaam remained blind to the entire situation. The ass was certainly wiser than Israel in the estimation of Isaiah, when he said, The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Isaiah 1:3. In Issachar, we notice that that same wisdom which caused him to work hard in anticipation for the reward and rest which he saw was worth. The couching down between two burdens has suggested indolence and stubbornness to some minds, but this is far from the truth. When we compare Scripture with Scripture, we find that the history of this tribe was the reverse of indolence. Issachar was prepared to work because of the rest which he anticipated at the end of the day. Issachar found delight and pleasure in his local environment and in his own tent. He delighted to remain in his own boundaries, not to laze around, but to bend his back in labor. The lesson here is that of solid service, to labor in the Lord's vineyard, to serve his people and his cause with diligence. The Christian who can really rest in the Lord is the one who has labored faithfully and has earned it. The harder the day's work, the sweeter the evening's rest. As 1 Corinthians 3:9 puts it, we are laborers together with God. We should enter his service with loving loyalty to principle, to righteousness. If we have served many years, the privilege of service should be esteemed the more, and our interest in the Lord's cause make us so much more the happier. It will be of these who perhaps will make up the number of the 12,000 in the tribe of Issachar. Our next tribe is that of Zebulun. Scripture, Genesis 49:13. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zion, or Zidon. The name Zebulun means dwelling. On the standard at the head of this tribe was the emblem of a ship. Zebulun was a more progressive type of man. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. We are not quite certain of the boundaries of this tribe of Zebulun. It is known that on one side was marked by the western shores of the Sea of Galilee. But how far the territory extended toward the Mediterranean is questionable. From the context, it appears that Zebulun occupied some of the main coastline through that area. In Deuteronomy 33:18, we are told, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. They shall call the people unto the mountains. They shall suck out the abundance of the sea." Actually, there are two ways in which this going out and coming in can be affected in the maritime world. The going out would be with precious cargo of merchandise of gold, wool, wine, copper, lace, and so on, in exchange for which would bring back in abundance the other things which are carried upon the seas. From Zebulun has gone forth the stories of Bethlehem, Capernaum, Bethsaida, Cana, and Galilee, stories that have enriched the world, messages that have brought in an abundance from out of the sea, as the herds of men have been drawn from the fishing nets of the sea, sucking out the abundance, so to speak, of the seas. Great stress is laid on the skill of fishing. Those who would fit into this tribe would be those whose mission was to catch men with the glorious hopes and prospects of the gospel, to bring them into such a relationship with the Lord that they would fully and gladly surrender their all to him. The message that goes forth from the true fishers of men whom the Lord commissions is a message which implies a loss of liberty and a loss of life to those who are successfully caught. But their loss of personal liberty and life means a gain of glory, honor, and eternal life. Perhaps in the Lord's arrangement, this tribe will continue its fishing into the next age. This fishing will be of a different kind and will be on a much, much wider scale. Let's move on to our next tribe, and that's the tribe of Joseph. We have a scripture in Genesis 30:22-24, and then we have a scripture in Genesis 49:22-26. Let's read that one in 49:22-26. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hill, and shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. The name itself means truth. The standard of this tribe had on it, on the emblem, a truthful vow. The life of Joseph is so abundant that more than an hour could be devoted upon it by itself. And God remembered Rachel. Joseph, like Samuel, was an answer to prayer. But Rachel thought that God had forgotten her. Many times, the delayed answer to prayer may be for a testing of our faith. Actually, they are evidences of God's intense interest and not his indifference. His name, as we mentioned, means doubly fruitful. An examination of his life well reveals that he was a character that developed much fruit. Love permeated his whole life. Joy in the family renewal, as you remember. Peace of heart while he was in prison. Long suffering toward a forgetful butler. Gentleness when his brothers were cruel. Goodness in his home life. Faith in his God at all times. Meekness in his dreams. Temperance in Potiphar's house. These qualities could be seen everywhere in his life, not just particularly as outlined. It is one thing to live a Christian life within the ecclesia walls and amongst our fellow brethren. It is another thing to bear much fruit while being rightly exercised in the home, in the business world, and in the world. As shown here on this tribal standard of Joseph, much developed fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit is required in those who wish to dwell in the tents of this spiritual tribe. Our next and last tribe is that of Benjamin. As a scripture, Genesis 49:27. Benjamin shall ravine as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoils. Another scripture you might like to jot down is Deuteronomy 33:12. The word Benjamin means son of my sorrow. On the standard of this tribe, as you can see, is the emblem of a wolf. The story surrounding the birth of Benjamin is a sad one. God gave Rachel that second son, but it cost her her life. She said, "Give me a son, or else I die." God gave her children, and she died at childbirth. What a lesson is here in the folly of demanding prayer. We need to remember the complete resignation to the divine will. Even in connection with the tribe of Benjamin, this lesson again and again occurs. The time came when the children of Israel demanded a king. They were warned of the consequence, but they still pressed their demand. So a king was given them who came from the tribe of Benjamin, and it was Saul. They lived to regret their demand. We note also that Jonathan, Mordecai, Esther, and Paul also came from the tribe of Benjamin. There's also a beautiful lesson in this scripture of Deuteronomy 33:12. The Lord shall cover him all the day long, as he shall dwell between his shoulders. A lesson or two, which is given to us on this standard of a wolf. The wolf is of a good size, and it takes on a large prey. Wolves, we understand, roam and congregate in packs. A wolf has always been notorious for its ability to avoid traps of all different kinds, also to survive against heavy odds. For those who will make up the remaining number of this tribe, will need to have complete resignation to the divine will. They will make it a point to congregate together in groups to avoid the pitfalls and the snares of the great adversary. Also together dwelling, fortifying each other, they will survive against heavy odds of the world, the flesh, and the evil of the days in which we live. It will be of these, if proven faithful, that may fit into this tribe of Benjamin. But then we come back, and what happened to the tribe of Dan? You notice that Dan is not mentioned in Revelation, while he is in the 49th chapter, in the 49th chapter of Genesis. We find in looking into history that his possessions that were given to him at the beginning, instead of multiplying, instead of his possessions increasing, they did just the opposite. They decreased. They decreased to such a point that there was nothing to mention in Revelation. Instead of being faithful as a steward of his possession, he was unfaithful. In our review of these 12 tribes of Israel, we have endeavored to touch on a few of the prerequisites that are needed to become a member of one of these tribes, and ultimately to become joint heirs in the 144,000 class as the bride of Christ. Our prayer is that you may ultimately end up as a member of one of these tribes.
Thank you, Brother Jesuit. It's a real beautiful sight, isn't it? It really is. We are fortunate in forming a part of either one of these. We will have achieved our objective of being among the 144,000. As you know, the original ones were broken off, and additional ones from among the Gentiles as well as Jews are grafted in. And all of our endeavor have been to be a part of, have a representation under one of these banners, that we might be used of our Heavenly Father to bless the remainder of mankind. Thank you, brother. We have an announcement concerning the tracting. You might feel free to, immediately after the prayer, to proceed to the lunchroom and get ahead of the line. And it's suggested that those able to participate in this work might meet with Brother Norris out at the book table to receive your territory assignments. I believe it's desirable that we continue the cooperation that we've given in the cafeteria. It seems that the process was speeded up by cooperation, and it's suggested that we continue. We will close this service with the use of hymn number 10. We'll sing it all. We'll rise on the last verse and Brother Odds Roswick will close his service with prayer. And additionally, he will ask the Lord's blessing this supper time. I believe it is. He'll ask the Lord's blessing on that meal. All right.
Certainly like to appreciate the splendid cooperation we received during the day. We appreciate this opportunity of service to the Lord and to the brethren, and we trust that the Lord will continuously bless our progressive convention.
Okay. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in prayer, thankful for Thy many blessings and favors in our behalf. We thank Thee for the blessings of the convention, particularly our blessing of the afternoon. Help us to be faithful stewards of Thine, that when we reach the end of the way, we will become a member of one of these 12 tribes. Help us to serve Thee more diligently and faithfully to the end. We ask Thy blessing upon us as we continue in prayer and in fellowship. We ask a blessing upon our supper hour as we break bread together. Bless our fellowship together one with another. And continue with us for the remainder of this day. In dear Jesus' name, amen.